happens. All right, wonderful. If you've got a Bible, just grab it quickly. Don't panic. Great thing about doing this together. I love preaching in front of this. It's just like... has anybody ever surfed? Anybody ever surfed? I know, Josh. So if you ever surf and there's a wave that pushes you, right? It lifts your feet and pushes you forward. And when you preach in front of a communion table just after you've broken bread together, it's like that's the wave, right? It's awesome. Right, wonderful. If you've got a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 10, if you will, please. We're going to be quick, and the great thing about doing a family meal afterwards together is you don't have to worry about your roast in the oven. Okay, so we'll be through this quick. God's representative at this time in the story is a man called Moses. And that's his job. He's to represent God, and to represent God in the liberation of people who are in slavery, people who are oppressed. And he goes to the slave master in this story, the guy is Pharaoh. These characters take on different names all the way through the Bible. It's the same story repeated over and over and over and over again. God has different representatives all the way through the Bible, culminating in Jesus. And then every representative after that points back to Jesus. Every representative before that points forward to Jesus. Right? But Jesus is the pinnacle, right? So, but the different people in the story, this time the representative is Moses. And the representative of oppression is Pharaoh. All right, so don't get weirded out about Egypt and all that stuff now. It's just representatives in the story. So Moses, the representative of God, who celebrates freedom and wants people to be free, goes in front of Pharaoh, the slave master, and his message never changes. All the way through this story, his message is the same. Set people free. Set people free from oppression. Set people free from slavery. Set people free from bondage. His story and his request never, ever changes. But the slave master wants to negotiate, and the only reason he wants to negotiate is he wants to keep the slaves in slavery. He wants them to have an illusion of freedom, but he wants them to stay in slavery. And we talked about this last week. The first couple of things he said was, okay, you can worship God as long as you don't go anywhere. Stay slaves. You can worship God as long as you don't take it too far. I mean, worship God all you like, but don't go down to Mile One Lake and get baptized. That's just fanaticism. No, it's not. It's following in obedience to what Jesus told us to do. All right? So, like, you know, stay put, or don't go any further. As long as you want to follow God, you can do, as long as I can keep you a slave. So in verse 10 of chapter, verse 8 of chapter 10, this is what it said. It says, so Moses and Aaron. Now he takes his brother Aaron with him because he's a bit of a coward. Right? Anybody else a coward? Hairy men for Jesus who are cowards. Right? We all need support. We all need family. Right? He doesn't do this on his own. Takes his friend. Takes Aaron, his brother. So they went back into Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to them, all right, go worship the Lord your God. Woohoo! Happy dance. Yeah, I did my happy dance this morning because England won in the World Cup. It's great. So they could do their happy dance at this point. Yeah, we got what we wanted. Go celebrate, worship God, and they jump around. The next words are, but. But, now it's B-U-1-T, right? It's not B-U-double-T, right? So it's but, listen to the question he asks. Exactly who will be going with you? But who are you planning to take? You see the negotiation here? I can't stop you being a follower of God. That's what he's saying. I can't stop you. If you make up your mind, there's nothing I can do. And I'll let you go follow God, and I'll let you go and worship God as long as you don't try and influence anybody else. Isn't that amazing? You see, he knows he's lost me. Right? The moment I realized that I was lost and dying without hope in my life, that I was a sinner, that I had no hope, it didn't matter how good I tried to be, I could never be good enough. The moment I realized that and I grabbed hold of Jesus, the slave master knew he'd lost me. And there's nothing he can do about it. And the moment you come to that realization, you grab hold of Jesus, he's lost you too. And he has to let you go. But he doesn't mind letting you go as long as you don't go and influence anybody else. Isn't that amazing? He will give you your freedom as long as you don't try and make anybody else free. What a little scumbag. It gives you this illusion of freedom, right? But don't you? So who are you going to be taking? Now listen to this answer. I don't know what to grab first. That to stop it from falling over on my Bible. All right, so listen to Moses' answer. It's absolutely wonderful. In verse 9, who are you taking with you? We're all going. I just love that. We're all, this is like an Andrew Lloyd Webber moment. And like it's, look, the full chorus comes on stage and they all sing, we're all going. Or if you're not that cultured, like Anita. George Costanza. Right? It's like, we're all going! We're all going! We're everybody! We're all going! It's like, we're all going! We're all going! Anybody that wants to be free is welcome to go. We're taking them all. Who's going? We're all going. What do you mean, we're all going? Well, anybody that wants to come can come. Anybody that wants to be free can be free. Anybody. We're all going. Our young and our old. I'm not going to ask you which you fit into. Right? Our young and our old. Right? Our men and our women. Young and old. Men and women. You see, even in Exodus, the Bible is inclusive of the feminine gender. Men and women. The culture in the day would dictate that only the heads of the house went. But that's not what he says. He says, we're not just taking the guys. We need the ladies. We need every man that's married knows that he needs his wife. All right? And so we're taking them all. Young, old, men, women, kids, and livestock. I think it's really funny that they put those two together. Kids and livestock. We're taking children. You know what it's like trying to herd kids? It's like herding cats, right? You just like so. Kids and livestock. We're taking them all. They're all coming. Now, this is one of the reasons why I am not a fan of segregated congregations. Not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of. I'm not particularly a fan of. In the Lower Mainland, there's a whole organization and movement called Youth Church. And they go to that church, and that's all they do. They never associate with anybody outside their age group and all that type of stuff. And I'm not a fan of that. Why? Because of this. Because he doesn't just say, we're taking the youth. Now, I was a youth pastor for 18 years, so don't get me wrong. Right? He doesn't say, we're just taking the youth. He doesn't just say, we're taking the old. He doesn't just say, we're taking the women or the men. And those things have their place, but when they become too segregatory, that was a big word. It's only 12 past 11. It's ridiculous. Segregatory. So when they become too divisive and too segregatory, when we separate this body that God has put us together in, we lose something. I need to be around older people like Mark. FI. So I want to be like Mark when I grow up, right? So, like, no, I need to be around people with a greater life experience than myself. I need to meet those people. I need to be around younger people who drive me nuts. I need to be around, well, younger people, not so much. Children, yeah, not a fan. So like, which doesn't make me evil, all right? It just means I like working with youth more than small humans, all right? They can't catch a football when you drill it at them. They fall over. Everybody knows. Grow up. So when we segregate these things, We missed the opportunity to learn together. Now, a few weeks ago, do you remember, remember we talked about the hand not being a foot and the foot not being a hand? And how ridiculous that made us look if we put the watch strap around your ankle and your wedding ring on your toe and try to walk around like that. It just doesn't work. And I don't send my arm to arm school. Right? I don't do that. I don't send my nose to nose academy. My arm and my nose learns how to function connected to the whole of my body. That's how it becomes spatially aware. You often see kids in babies, tiny little babies in cribs, when they're first born, right? And it weirded me out when I first saw my son like it. I went in and it was the first newborn baby that I'd ever seen. And so he was there and he had boxing gloves on, right? Those little mitten things, right? Because they're born with talons. Right? They're born with nails, right? And because they're not spatially aware, they go, and they're clawing at stuff and scraping. Well, they don't chop his arm off and send it away to learn not to scratch. They protect him from himself as he learns not to claw his own eyes out. Do you understand? And when we separate the groups, we remove the ability to learn about how we don't damage ourselves and how we bless each other rather than hurting each other. When we separate the groups, it's a great learning thing, but what we need to be able to learn connected to each other. And so Moses says, so we're all going because we need to learn about God together. Every single person who wants to be free can be free. What does that sound like? Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Not just so for God so loved Pemberton. Not just so for God so loved the English. Although he did give us the sceptred isle. You know, that royal throne of kings, don't get me into Shakespeare, it's awesome. So it doesn't say for God so loved the Germans, so God loved the Mennonites, for God so loved the Baptists, for God so loved the Australians, for God, he didn't, he put them under the earth. So for God so loved the Americans, it doesn't say that, it's for God so loved the world, that whosoever, anybody who wants to be free, can be free. What a thought. What a great invitation. That's a big invite. Anybody who wants to be in is in. Anybody. If you want to be free, if you want to experience God's best, anybody that wants to be free can come. Anybody. Wow. Anybody got family that they want to be free? Family that aren't free yet, but you know that you want them to be free. Neighbors who aren't free yet, but you know that you want them to be free. Co-workers, colleagues that maybe drive you nuts because they're not free. And they want to imprison you, but you want them to be free. And more importantly, God wants them to be free. Anybody that wants to be free. You heard Deb this morning, her journey to freedom. It's a great thing. Journey to freedom. She wants to be free. And she's accepted God's invitation to be free. And he says, anybody who wants to come with us, anybody that wants to leave this place of slavery, anybody that wants to be free from oppression, anybody that wants to live in God's best and learn what God's best is for their life, anybody who wants to do that is welcome to come. Anybody. But they have to do it according to God's plan. That's the only caveat, right? My freedom has to be bought with the cross and by following God's plan. And he says, if you want to do that, you're in. And only you can answer this question in your own heart. Does anybody want to be free? I remember the first day that I knew that, I wanted to be free. And that freedom has never left. Never left. Doesn't matter where I've gone, where I've traveled, what I've experienced. Like Ken said, and it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. The road is straight in front of you, but it doesn't say it's flat. It's straight, not flat. So in all those hills and valleys, the freedom is still there. Freedom is still there. And we walk hand in hand with the freedom giver as he sets us free from oppression. Great thought. It's a great thought. Does anybody want to be free? So stand with me and let's pray together and ask God to set us free. So Father, in Jesus' name, you see us all here standing in front of you. You see our hearts. Nothing is hidden from you. And Father, you give us the same offer that Moses represented to the slave master. You give us the same offer that Moses represented to any person who wanted to be free. You give us the same offer that you gave in John 3:16, that anybody who believes in you can be free. Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, some of us in here have friends and family members that we would love you to set free. We have co-workers that we'd love you to set them free. So, Father, we pray for them right now. God, Holy Spirit, our friend, get after them, chase them, wake them up at night with the truth of the freedom that you are offering them. Let them have Holy Ghost divine appointments with different people who will talk about the freedom that they've experienced in God. Let all these wonderful things happen. And for ourselves today, Father, as we stand here, some of us desperately need to be set free. And we want to be set free in your best for our life. So, Father, with open hands and open hearts, we pray, set us free. Forgive us for our sins. And set us free from the grip of the oppressor. And let us live in God's best, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you may be here this morning and you might think, yep, I would like to be free. Please. During the time downstairs, walking around, talk to somebody. Talk to Mark, one of the musicians, the team. Danny in the gleaming white t-shirt. Come talk to me if you like, or Gary here in the other plaid shirt. And tell us that you want to be free. It's that simple. And then after we have eaten together, please come with us to the lake, right? Come with us to the lake and celebrate with Deb as she gets baptized. It'd be great to take as many cars as we possibly can, crammed full of people, all right, to watch her get baptized. Okay? Bless you.